This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah, I think we'll find out more today at practice and see how that goes, and then just go from there. You never want a player of his caliber on your lineup. One time out west, we were in games 19, 20, and 21, and you want to be smart with your players and making sure that you don't put them in a situation that the injury can become longer. Those are constant conversations between our medical team, our trainers, and our coaching staff, and I think we'll find out more here today.
Here's Buffalo Sabres assistant head coach Seth Appert joined Jeremy and Joe earlier this morning, giving a little bit of an update on Tage Thompson. Well, we got more of an update, as he said there right at the onset, that, well, we'll learn more later today. We have all Sabres reporters are tweeting out, including our own Paul Hamilton. Tage Thompson is on the ice this morning for practice. Jordan Greenway, though, still absent and still on IR. Not too surprising for him, but it'd be really, really nice, Josh, to get Tage Thompson back. Real quick, though, I do want to mention this because we were talking about UB football, and I wanted to mention UB basketball as well. The women are in our action tonight at 6 against Niagara. They are undefeated, 5-0. Becky Burke in her third year, taking the team from 12-16 her first year, 19-14 last year, 5-0 this year. And then I'm going to say this sort of as a joke, but I do mean it. Really good by UB men getting a win last night against North Carolina A&T. They were 2.5-point favorites at home, which tells you how close that game was. They ultimately get a 1-point win. With that, they are 4-3 to start this year, thus matching their win total from last year. I know it's not a lot, but it does mean something. You won four games last year for the men's program to now win four before you've even started MAC conference play, and to be getting really, really good play out of a number of your young guys, namely Ryan Sable, who's averaging, I think, 18 points per game, 48% from three. You've got Ben Michaels, a freshman from Canada, in double-digit scoring as well. He's also a 40% three-point shooter. You're getting good minutes, good production out of some of your young guys. So hopefully both George Halkovich and we already kind of are seeing Becky Burke potentially getting those UB basketball programs back to relevancy like they were before 2020, those late 20-teens. They were a lot of fun. But to the Tage Thompson point, Josh, them going 4-1 without him, to me, is still maybe the most impressive thing. Yes, you're beating teams like Anaheim and San Jose. I get it. But I even saw a tweet this morning. San Jose, since Macklin Celebrini has been back, they've been like 7-5-1.
Oh, yeah.
So they've not necessarily been a bad team wins. Yeah. He's been back.
Right. And the thing is, too, is you can finally see this team not Like, they're not making excuses anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not, oh, well, our number one guy's down. Well, I guess we don't have to show up anymore. Mm-hmm. No, it's they're actually going out there and they're playing through stuff like that. It's not debilitating to them anymore. And I think it's partially it's a large part due to what Lindy Ruff has done with the team so far, I think. Mm-hmm. It's also a big part, I think, in what guys like Jason Zucker, Ryan McLeod, and even Sam Lafferty and Abbe Kubel have brought to the team in terms of just that outside perspective of and Bo Byram too, because yeah, sure, Byram came in last year, but he came in towards the end of the year. It was kind of just a falling, like a move that fell flat eventually.
Yeah,
but it's that different perspective of these guys are coming from proven winners, or they're younger and they want to make their own mark, like Ryan McLeod. He hasn't really had a chance to make his own mark in the NHL because he's been behind McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, yeah. Leon Draisaitl, all those guys. So now you have all these players coming in and they're actually going out there and they're winning hockey games through this resiliency. And that was one of the things Seth Appert talked about today was with Jeremy and Joe, was the resiliency of being able to win games 1-0, come back in games and win it in overtime, come back in games and win it in regulation with shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
Like those things are things we have not seen the Sabres do consistently over the last few years, and that's been a large part of their problem. But now you're seeing them on a 3-game winning streak, winning 7 of their last 9, and having 7 of their next 8 games at home. That's a massive thing. Like, that's really big, especially around this time of the year, too, because this is the time of year where you start to see teams separate. I mean, we've been talking about the stat. I think Paul initially brought it up. Maybe it was Joe. One of them initially brought it up, the whole, you know, 80% of teams in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving make the playoffs.
Brayton, I think, had the stat last week, which was like, it's now up to like 77.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, so still, regardless, you have... You're at the point right now, I think they're actually in a wild card spot right now after the results of last night.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're in a playoff spot right now. That's something that you haven't been able to see consistently over the past few years in terms of, you know, having more points than you have games played and consistently staying in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something that is completely different that we haven't seen the Sabres team do in a long time. And it's not feeling like it's going to slow down. This is going to be a tough test over the next few games because they are going to have some of the better teams in the NHL coming to town.
Yep.
But still, they've beaten the Rangers 6-1. Like they I mean, to be fair, the Rangers have.
This is the Rangers may actually.
The Rangers are actually falling apart a little bit, but at the time, the Rangers were mm-hmm. still one of the top teams in the league, mm-hmm. and they were still performing very well. But I think honestly, that 6-1 win has kind of sent them into a bit of a spiral.
They haven't had fun.
No. I mean, Elliot.
You're also seeing, though, a team like Florida, who mm-hmm. you've been able to split with early in the season. They are not having a good time. They lost again last night to Washington, I believe 4-1, which now is 6 of their last 7 games they've lost.
Wow.
And now I think they are on a 4-game losing streak, something like that.
They're still hanging out at 25 points, too.
I will ask you, though, and I'm only saying this because I've seen a lot on social media. How much have you been thinking about the 2018-19 season and that 10-game win streak?
Not at all.
You haven't at all?
Nope.
I mean, I have
because I've been seeing, you know, hey, on this day, they won the 7th game or the 6th game. Like,
totally
I haven't been thinking about it at all.
Because I totally have.
This is those games, mm-hmm. well, yes, it was an incredible time. I mean, I remember them winning the 8th game. That was the one where when they won that, they went to the first place in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember screenshotting that, posting it to Twitter, posting on literally every bit of social media saying, the Sabres are back, here they are. Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt are going to win a Stanley
Get
Cup.
Get used to it.
We all thought that they were going to split the Conn Smythe in half and give it to Eichel and Reinhardt, and you know everything was going to be great. But this team is not like that team. I mean, you look at that season and that win streak.
Do you want the numbers? I have the numbers.
I was about to actually bring up the schedule because that was like. You know, we were all riding high on that team because they were winning 10. They won 10 games in a row.
Of those 10 games, though, do you know how many of them went in either into overtime or shootout?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's like 5?
6? 7.
7.
7 of
so
them.
So good. And then,
including the last 3.
And then the other ones that aren't in an overtime or shootout are a 2-1 win, a 3-2 win, a 5-2 win. Like, only one game was by more than one goal.
Mm-hmm. It was Philadelphia. And then
Everything else was a one-goal win.
It was a one-goal game.
Either in a shootout or overtime, or they squeak it out in regulation.
Yeah.
And then you go on a five-game losing streak right after that. Gotta love it. But
to me and Paul's point, you picked up two loser points in the middle of that five-game losing streak. Well, you did have two overtime losses.
Yeah, yeah. And even at the end of that, you were 17-9-4 mm-hmm. at the start of December. Man, that team. What a disappointment.
But the reason I do bring it up,
now I'm thinking about it. But like I haven't been thinking about it at all during this whole span because this team, the way they're winning games and the way they're even playing games in losses, aside from that Philadelphia game last Saturday, well, mm-hmm. abysmal, or two Saturdays ago, abysmal. But when they're losing games, it's close wins or it's close losses. Mm-hmm. It's not like the only times they've really been blown out were the first two games of the year. The one game against Columbus, the game against Montreal, and the game against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's five of your nine losses.
Yeah.
But they haven't been as frequent. I mean, sure, the Montreal one's a little fluky. It was 7-5. And the Philly one was bad. It was 5-2. But before that, you have a 2-1 loss to Detroit where you kind of just got goalied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-3 loss against the Islanders where the Islanders played their boring style of hockey and, you know, they were just annoying. And a 5-2 loss to the Panthers, which that was a fully healthy Panthers team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that but it feels different in terms of the way that they're winning these games and the way that they're playing these games it's a safe style of hockey. But it's also creating offense at the same time. This you almost have like a safety net every time they get the puck because you're either having your defensive line out there with your offensive defenseman or you're having your defensive defenseman out there with your offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about the way this lineup has been built. And even in the last five games that Tage Thompson has been out, you're 4-1. So having Tage come back and be fully healthy, hopefully, is just another boost. I mean, That's the whole thing is why I'm okay with them not rushing him back is you've been successful. Mm-hmm. The only time you weren't successful was just in a very rough game where your goalie gets just blown out. I mean, then he gets sent down to Rochester. So,
and he's been doing well there.
And he's been doing good, yeah.
So you got to feel happy about that.
I will tell you, though. To go back to the original point, I have not thought about that winning streak because of the way they're playing this style of hockey.
I have been thinking about it, mainly only due to the fact of on November 27th, I know today is the 26th, so you know mm-hmm. we can, I guess, do this more tomorrow when they do play Minnesota. But on November 27th, I was at that game, the San Jose game. That's the overtime win.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that they lined up that easily. Huh.
And at that point, they're at 36 points.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If the Sabres were to beat Minnesota tomorrow, they'd be at 25. I agree with you. I think they are playing much better hockey, mm. I, and I'm being completely honest here. the Tage Thompson injury, almost to my psyche, has been a positive because I've seen this team, like you said, go 4-1 in this window and play really, really well and eke out wins, sweep the California trip. They're putting together performances as well. Josh, since November 5th, they've only lost twice. We're almost in December.
Yeah.
They've lost twice. The Montreal game, in which, honestly, if Levi played that instead of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, maybe it's a little bit different because goaltending was basically non-existent there.
Yeah.
But we knew Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, we found out later that day, was hurt.
Yeah.
And that's why he was ultimately pulled. So maybe if Levi plays that game, maybe they win that. The Philly game was, I think, bad all around.
It was atrocious.
But to both of those points, though, they bounce back after those losses. We've talked to Paul and mentioned that Lindy Ruff has brought that up of you can't string together losses, though. You can lose a game, but you got to bite it.
And the only time they've only had 2 3-game losing streaks so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the beginning of the season where arguably you should have won the third one because it was that stupid game against LA, the home opener.
Where you got totally goalied,
Yep. And then the other one, again, we were just talking about it. Florida, New York, Detroit. In two of those games, you got goalied. In the other game, it was Florida was fully healthy and wanted to get revenge for what you did to him a couple
And they were trying
before.
To fix their start to the season
right,
as well.
Exactly. So it's I'm not trying to sit here and create excuses because I was just talking about how, they haven't been creating excuses this season. They've been just going out there and winning games. But at the same time, looking at the first month of the season is often so hard to do because it's under such a microscope. Now that you're in almost into December, you're almost in 3 months into the season, you can really see the way that they're trying to play and the way that they are playing and what that result or what that style gives you on the results.
Mm-hmm.
You look past the last 3-game losing streak, like you just said, that was their first win off that losing streak was November 5th against the Senators. And that's been the way they've played this whole month has been this dominating style of play where it's you're not creating a lot of offense most nights, but you're creating a safe amount of offense and a safe amount of...
And also remember, like during this month is when they sort of figured out the power play.
Yeah, right.
And they started scoring regularly on that. I will also say too, and this has been brought up, but you know, usually when we bring it up, we talk about how they started 0-3.
Right.
In reality, this team started 1-4-1. Yeah. They were in a tough spot. And for them to grab that and go, and ultimately, as you've seen in November, really put together a strong run here to go above 500, even if you want to do the whole fun style of, well, they also still have that overtime loss that still counts,
right.
They'd be 11-10. They're finally above 500, and they are playing well. Luukkonen is healthy. Hopefully now with Tage Thompson back at practice, he is healthy. We did see last night from Minnesota, you're going to have to deal with Kirill Kaprizov. He played like 22 minutes last night. Yeah. He's healthy. He's ready to go.
He's back.
But it's at home, and I feel good about where they're going to be at Wednesday and Friday against Vancouver. You've put together a really good product that you can see on television. I hope that means then during this holiday week of Thanksgiving Eve and Black Friday, that barn is full. And that they do continue to put up good performances. Because I'm with you. From what I've seen this year, they have put together strong performances. My fear is that, the Minnesota game is just a dud. That they win 3 straight, they lose to Minnesota, and they fall out of that playoff spot. That's been a big thing just for me on social media, seeing it, of a lot of people talking about just being there at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 75 to 77% making the playoffs. And then when we look at that 2018-19 team, I agree with you. It's an entirely different team. That's like 6 years ago. But they were at this point, tomorrow, 36 points, and they failed to make the playoffs. The Sabres at most tomorrow could be at 25.
That's why they say 80% of the teams.
Yes. It's just incredibly frustrating that you somehow were one of them. But but to me, that is a big difference. It's an 11-point difference.
Right. But also,
East is so close. I mean, that's the thing, too.
The East
you've played so well.
Yeah.
And yet, because you haven't played in 2 days, you're now in the second wild card spot.
Right.
But you were third in the Atlanta, in the East not that long ago.
Think about it, though. This is what we were talking about this with Paul yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You have those points on Tampa.
Yes. Yes.
You theoretically, you can get those points back because you have less games played than them. Obviously, they're not given, but you have that time to make that up. Which is what we saw them have a couple years ago when they got very close. They even had it a little bit last year. But if you want to break this down, looking at this last month of Sabres hockey, so you go to the win against Ottawa to now, right? November 5th to now. It was three in a row, one loss, one win, one loss, three in a row. Okay?
Yep.
Shrink that down. The last four games, you're 3-1. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If you play at that pace, you can't roughly break down four games into an 82-game season, but it's about...
Correct, yep.
You know, it's about 20 if you cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 3-1 every four games, that should get you to the playoffs.
Yeah, it should get you to the playoffs, absolutely.
So I'm not sitting here saying that's what they should do, but we've seen that over the past month now. They win three, they lose one. They win one, they lose one, they win two more. Like, they're mm-hmm. still on that path of winning. Yep. every four games, you're 3-1. It's not impossible to say that they would continue that same stretch.
No, I think especially you're getting great numbers out of your goaltenders. Reimer only one game. Ulukinen, though,
sure.
you've now had quite a big sample size of him going back to last year
yeah.
into this year. He's a good goaltender. Your defenseman, especially on the offensive side, Owen Power second, Bowen Byram is third in terms of even strength points for defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson was on a heater before he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And you've been able to win games without him. You've been able to kind of figure out what's going on. You can also argue to this point, Jack Quinn is starting to look better. He is starting to somewhat figure it out. He hasn't scored against a goalie yet, but he's figuring it out.
The other guy that's it's kind of missing right now, Peterka has not scored since the Montreal game, which is not great, but, you know, it's not like the other parts of the team haven't stepped up around them.
Correct.
Because
you brought up Zucker a lot.
Right. Zucker has been one of the biggest pieces to this team's success so far this season, and same with a guy like Ryan McLeod. I really wonder what that Philadelphia game would look like if Jordan Greenway's there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he makes that much of a difference, but he is part of that defensive and offense. Like, that line of Greenway, Zucker, and McLeod is, in my eyes, one of the most underrated lines in hockey because mm-hmm. they are balanced enough to have both great offensive and defensive abilities. Like looking at them just in what they've done so far this year, if Greenway was healthy, this would be a completely different conversation. I don't know if it's really that bad right now, obviously, but it's just Greenway being in the lineup too has honestly been something that's very, very beneficial for this team so far this year. And I think that's just because of the way that Don Granato wanted to use Greenway compared to how Lindy Ruff understands to use Greenway. Because Greenway was originally kind of trying to be used as an offensive forward where he can have offensive output, but he's more of a forechecker. He's more of a get control of the puck and get it to someone that can actually put up the offense. Mm-hmm. And if he scores a goal, cool. Great. But it probably won't be your typical, like, you know, goal scorer's goal. It'll be a scrappy net front presence type of goal.
Yeah.
Which is what he brings. But it's something the team doesn't really have without him in the lineup.
No, that's right. That's right.
Other than Zucker, actually, because Zucker is kind of that as well. By the way, did you see the video of him after the Anaheim game, I think it was?
Chirping at fans. It's so much fun.
It's just like, that's so electric. Like, banging the glass at a fan because...
Because he's chirping at you the whole time?
Just great.
Oh, it's so good. But he's brought a good energy. I know Paul has brought up a lot that Yuri Kulik sits with him on mm-hmm. the bench after every shift, and they go over it. And Paul's spot on.
Yeah.
There's really not many better players to learn from
mm-hmm.
than Zucker, especially with how Kulik wants to play. He's also getting minutes at center.
Well, and also
playing well there.
Look at how much Lindy Ruff is trusting Yuri Kulik in terms of mm-hmm. putting him out there in overtime, putting him out there just at center while your top center is out of the lineup. Not on the top line, obviously, but still in an important role as a guy that's only got 10 NHL games. I mean, Yuri Kulik has, for what he's done so far, like what he's been asked to do, he's done amazing.
Yep. Now there is a good chance him or Roseanne is going to get sent down when Thompson comes back healthy.
I think it'll be Roseanne, personally.
You think they'll keep Kulik up?
Yeah, I think so, just because of what he's shown.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know what that means for the lineup. Because, I mean, it's not a bad problem, obviously, but the problem is you then have too many centers. You have to shift someone back to wing.
Yeah. Sabres lines at practice today. Top line, Peterka, Thompson, Tuck. Second line, Benson, Cousins, Krebs. Third line, Zucker, McLeod, and then Kulik and Quinn switching in and out. And then for the fourth line, Malenstein, Roseanne, Lafferty, and Nicholas Abbé-Cabell switching out there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who is the center on the fourth line?
Lafferty. I'm sorry, Malenstein and Roseanne are switching out. Then it's Lafferty and Nicholas Abbe-Cabell.
At center, though. So
Lafferty.
Lafferty. I mean, it's interesting to see that Kulik didn't go on that fourth line. But I guess Lafferty is like a true center. He's not really a winger also. So I could live with it if he goes back to wing, but I have liked what he's done at center so far. Like, if it's between him staying up or going down, then put him on the wing. Because he should stay up in the NHL. He's earned a spot.
I think so. I think it does mean a lot. That overtime goal was fantastic.
Oh,
right
yeah.
off the rebound. Perfect shot.
Way to just be there. You know, like that. Just the awareness to be there. Because he's coming off the bench when that happens, too.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just takes seeing it go in the net. I've talked about that with Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. Absolutely should be thrown on that list as well. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about the Sabres? As they will not be in action again until Wednesday when they take on Minnesota. But then they also get Vancouver at home on Friday for Black Friday. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.